So I'm from Larkhole Baptist. I come from a brethren family. Most of my days, my family, parents, grandparents, etc., etc., have all been Gospel Hall brethren, Needed Truth brethren. So I was brought up in that sort of environment, and I had a real love for music. Now, in the brethren, we sing parts, you know, which is absolutely fantastic. But when you're a youngster, becoming a teenager, you want something that's got a wee bit more oomph. So there was a local Larkhole, in Larkhole, there was a local Baptist church. And just at that time, I was in teenage years, and the draw of having music and even just having a piano, etc., pulled me along to the local Baptist church. And I found myself there to this day. I studied in Edinburgh for a while. I did a business degree, and I used to come through at weekends to work, and I would still go. I would go to the Gospel Hall in the morning for communion, and then I would go to the Baptist at night for some good hymn singing and giving it laldy, you know, to the piano and maybe a guitar as well. For the last 20 odd years, I have worked in the garden centre business in the Clyde Valley. I came into our family business. We had two garden centres along the Clyde side, and we sold one not long after I came in, and my idea was to concentrate on one of them. And God in his goodness really blessed us there, and it mushroomed and it grew and it grew. And I did that for the last 20 years. So if anybody needs any help with plants or anything like that, you know, I'm your person. So, as I say, God's been good to me and allowed me to stay in Larkhole and to continue worshipping at Larkhole Baptist, where I've sort of held various roles, you know, Sunday school supervisor, you know, the worship leader, all these kind of different things. God has moved me into various places. And then when I would say maybe about, 7 or 8 years ago, when I was in my late 30s, you know, God has got a funny way of just loosening your roots up a wee bit. Here I was, I thought, you know, I'd been in the business for a number of years. I was set up in terms of, I knew where I was going. I thought, okay, I might retire at 55, maybe get a chance to do a wee bit travelling, etc. But God had other ideas. And he kept prompting my heart to go to Bible college. Now, when you work for yourself, there is this perception that you're your own boss, you can take as much time off as you want. And the reality is really the opposite. You don't really have any time to yourself at all. And I thought, how on earth am I going to be able to go back to Bible college? So I used to take the prospectus that came in the post, and I would look at it, and I thought, that would be great. That would be wonderful to do that. And then I used to put it in the bin and think, it's not practical. And every year, this prospectus used to come in and land in my desk, and I would look at it till the fitness. One year, they decided that we're going to do a part-time course at International Christian College in Glasgow, which used to be the old BTI. And I thought, well, you know, that's maybe practical. I could maybe do it in my days off. So I was obedient, and I signed up, and I felt the Lord's prompting it. I had no idea what he was going to do, you know, through this, because I was a brethren lassie going to Bible college, which is quite unusual in itself. And I thought, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do and how you're going to use me in doing this. So I embarked on my degree course at Bible college. And then I was maybe halfway through, 3 years into it part-time. It was a 6-year course because I was doing it part-time. And about 3 years into it, I was feeling quite tired. It was the end of the bedding season, which is quite a strenuous time in the garden centre business. And it was exam time at college. And there was loads of stuff going on at church. And I sang in a wee group called Trinity, and we used to go out and go around all the churches, you know, at weekends. So it was quite a full-on life. And I was tired. And I thought, oh, I had an underactive thyroid, and I thought, I need to maybe go and get that tweaked a wee bit. So I went to the doctor, and I said, look, I'm feeling a wee bit tired. I think just life's busy, and, you know, my thyroid's maybe a wee bit out. And she said, well, let me just have a wee look. And she said, look, I'd really like you to go and have a wee scan. So I went the next couple of days over to Wishaw General, and I had a scan. And then from there, the phone went and said, we'd really like to have you come in, you know, and to see us, you know, like, kind of with regard to your scan. So I went in, not thinking anything of it, to be met with the news that I had two massive tumours sitting on my ovaries, massive tumours. And it was cancer of an aggressive nature. Now, as I'm standing speaking to you just now, is how I was, maybe a wee bit tired, but I never felt ill at all. And I thought, okay, what's the next stage then? We need to find a surgeon to remove these. So I had to go to a district meeting sort of thing of all the professionals, and I waited an excruciating couple of weeks, and my doctor came back and he said to me, look, we've found a surgeon who is willing to operate. And I thought, great, you got to go into the Beatson, got to meet her, which I did. And I turned up this particular day to meet the surgeon, thinking nothing else of it, that she'll, you know, like, kind of advise me on my operation. And I sat there, this lovely lady, surgeon, Indian lady, Muslim lady, was sitting, and she said to me, I've looked at your case. And I said, yes, you know. And she said, I'm afraid the tumours and the cancer are too far gone that I'm not going to be able to do anything for you. Well, the world sort of fell out from underneath me at that moment in time. And as I sat there in my head, you know, it's these moments you have the funniest conversations. And in that moment in my head, I thought, Lord, wait a minute here. I have just spent 3 or 4 years. You have taken me, taken any spare time I have, and taken me to Bible college because I believe that you have a plan and a future for me. And yet the professionals here are all saying that my life is over, you know, that there's no future for me. There is no hope for me. They have looked at my case and there is nothing they can do for me. So as I sat there, I said to this doctor, and I said, look, I have a really strong faith. And I said, if I signed the paperwork, would you operate? And she said, no. She said, we're in the business of preserving life and not taking it. She said, you wouldn't make it through the operation. She said, you just wouldn't make it. She said, I've looked at it. I have looked at your charts. I've looked at every scan that you've had. There is no way that you're going to make this operation. And I said, well, look, I said, I believe that I'm in higher hands. I believe that God has a purpose and a future for me. I said, I've just spent years training. I said, it's not over yet. I said, and you're telling me that I've got, what, months to live? She said, months, maybe 6, if you're lucky, you know, that sort of thing. And I said, well, I said, I'm going to ask you again. I said, if I sign on the dotted line and take away any, you know, sort of responsibility from you, I said, would you operate and I will take the chance? I said, because if the Lord decides to take me, it's before I would really like to go. I said, but it's a win. I said, because I know where I'm going. I said, and if he chooses not to take me, I said, that's a win as well, because I have a wee bit more time here to, like, sort of do some good for him. And something happened in that room within the space of about 30 seconds. And she said, well, you know, if you're willing to take the chance, then I'm going to take the chance as well. So I signed on the dotted line, and she said, you've got 5 days to sort your life out. So I said, well, what do you mean? She said, you've got 5 days. I'm putting you in 5 days' time. She said, you know what I'm saying to you? Our professional opinion is you're not going to make it. She said, so 5 days to do whatever you need to do. So I thought, oh, man, what do you do? How do you wrap up 5 days potentially? You know, like, you know, who do you spend your time with? I thought, I have a house. What am I going to do with my house? I have a business. What am I going to do with my business? You know, and I thought, who'd I tell? Who'd I not tell? It turns your life upside down. And I phoned my pastor and I said, Stuart, could you come down? And he came down and I said, look, I've got some news to tell you. I said, in that envelope there, I said, are some funeral instructions. And he said, what are you talking about? Because nobody knew this had been going on. And I told him, and he said, I can't believe it. He said, you look really healthy. You look really well. And you're saying in a few days you might not be here. And I said, this is what I'm telling you. I said, that's what they tell me. I said, in case the Lord does take me, I said, these are my instructions. And he said, but Hazel, you're only 39. And I said, I know. I said, and it's, you know, it's not what I expected to happen. I said, but that's that. And he said, well, would you allow our church family to support you by praying for you? And I said, yes. I said, the more prayer, the better. So the night before, I went in hospital the night before my operation. And I don't know about Peebles, Lark Hall's quite a small place, but the jungle drums obviously started to move and people got to hear and the phones obviously started to ring between each other. And before I knew it, when I was in hospital, like getting preparation the night before, I got a phone call from a friend in the church who'd said, do you know, there is loads of people turning up for this meeting. There was neighbours, friends who'd never set foot in a church before, who used to kid me on, say the roof would come in, if you know that way, if they could set foot. And there was hundreds of people came. People who never knew how to pray, people who just wanted to be there and were saying, tell us how to pray. And sure enough, they prayed me through that operation. And I'm here to tell the tale. I'm watching my time here and I don't want to go on to tell you too much more at the moment. But my doctor said, whoever you're praying to, you keep praying because that's a miracle. And I'm not out of the woods. I'm still a cancer patient. I still get treatment. But I finished my course and I said, Lord, what do you do? I had to take 2 years out. I was housebound for 2 years after all the operations and the treatments and things. And I was housebound for 2 years and I thought, what do I do? And I thought, I'll continue my course. I was running my business from a laptop, from my room. I couldn't go into the business. As I say, I was walking with two sticks. I just, you know, life, you know, my mobility was going. Everything had changed. And I finished my course and the doctor said to me, look, you can't go back to what you're doing because I used to be on and off a forklift and, you know, been quite, you know, like sort of as big as I am, I used to be quite fit and, you know, like kind of with that. And I thought, I can't go back to that. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to sell the business and I'm just going to leave it in your hands. So that's what I did. And the next thing I knew, I finished my course and I graduated and had done a sort of year's training in chaplaincy at the Beatson, of all places, which became my second home after that. And I got a phone call saying, would you be interested in becoming the new chaplain at Glasgow Airport? And I was like, sure, you know, like, absolutely. So from there, that led me into chaplaincy, which I have thoroughly enjoyed and God's really blessed. And just of late, so I've been the chaplain at Glasgow Airport for quite a while. And of late, God's had challenged me and moved me. And I've just become the new chaplain at Brayhead Shopping Centre, to all the staff there, of which there's 5,000, 6,000 staff. There's a lot of people, a lot of names to remember. And God, in his goodness, has been opening up doors of opportunity. So a few years ago, if I thought I'd be standing here speaking to you folks, I would never, not only just for my health, never have imagined it. But this wee brother and lassie would never have imagined as well that God would have opened up doors of opportunity to come and share his words and to, you know, like, kind of share the gospel message as well. So that's a wee bit more information than probably you needed or would have liked. But it gives you a wee insight into God's goodness. And to be, no matter, I mean, I come from a church that's not a big church, about the power that when people come together in prayer and to pray for healing and to pray for people, you know, in the most dire circumstances, there's power in prayer, folks, regardless of your number, you know. And I just want to encourage you in that this morning.